Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Map has you covered. Visit giftingmap.com for great gifts. That's giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. You're listening to The Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alex Gold.
Back in here on SB Nation Radio and looking ahead now as Week 10 is in the books, looking ahead to Week 11. And to do that, we welcome in Steve Weish, NFL Network reporter, and he joins us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Weish89 and also see him on NFL Network's The Aftermath every Monday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time. Steve, thanks so much for hopping on with us tonight. And, you know, I wanted to actually start with the piece you did on the Rams following their win and what that team has done for a community going through a lot right now. Just how much have they meant to the city already in the short period of time they've been there?
Well, thanks a lot for having me on. Regarding that piece, you know, where the Rams train, they train in Thousand Oaks, which is about 45 miles west of downtown Los Angeles, where they play their game. So they're out in the suburbs. And last week it started with the shooting at the Borderline Bar and Grill, where 12 people were murdered. And that's about 4.5 miles from their training facility. This is where a lot of the players and their families live. So this really hit home. And then the next day is when these fires started, these wildfires that we're seeing all over TV, and almost everybody with the team has had to either evacuate or relocate because their homes are endangered. So, you know, it's just been a surreal type of week where these guys have been displaced and whatnot, but they weren't necessarily thinking about themselves. I mean, Andrew Whitworth, we saw the tackle, donated his game check to a foundation that's going to aid the victims and the survivors and the family members of the shooting. A lot of other players have donated money to help with different causes, including the wildfires and people affected by that. So in terms of the Rams players and the organization itself being so unselfish in the moment, I am sure the impact will be felt, maybe not right away because so many people are still going through a lot of things, but over time, with the Rams really wrapping their arms around that situation. And it's really helped them establish a footprint in the overall L.A. community just because, you know, they didn't have football here for 21 years. It's been hard for them to really kind of sink their hooks into the fan base here. So along with winning football games and the gestures that they've gone through while, you know, that they've done while also going through some of this tragedy has really, really indoctrinated themselves with a lot of people and really help with the brand.
Talking with NFL Network reporter Steve Weish here on SB Nation Radio. Now, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think most expected yesterday to be the result in terms of Bell not showing up and his season, at least in 2018, being over. Now that we've reached this conclusion for him, do you think there's almost a sense of relief on the Steelers' part to just be done with this and not having to answer questions and all that anymore?
Absolutely. I mean, I've covered situations where, you know, players, teammates, coaches, they've got to answer questions about something else or something that they're not directly involved in or can control. So that part is done. Okay, now, you know, a lot of questions might be, you know, going left Bell's way, but the Steelers can focus solely on doing what they're doing, or they've done, and that's winning football games. They're playing good football. James Conner has come in and been fantastic. He no longer has to wonder about the uncertainties of will Le'Veon Bell show up and him having to go to a backup role or a rotational type of role. They know what they are going to be now. And that, I'm sure, is a huge burden off of everybody in that building.
Now, as far as Bell goes, the way he handled this situation, do you think, you know, just what he did and him and his agent did will turn off some teams and maybe even future teammates? Or do you think, hey, when it comes down to it, people are going to just see the talent the guy has?
No, I mean, I think players kind of respect him, a question what he did in terms of basically forfeiting $14.5 million. But I think players also will respect the decision. Like, hey, if you don't want to put your body out there for a team that doesn't want to keep you long term, you made that decision. I may not have done the same thing myself, but you did. I don't think this will turn off teams at all. Some teams are not going to pay Le'Veon Bell because some teams are not big. Most teams are not big on paying huge contracts to running backs. But there's going to be at least one, and that's all it takes.
Right. I mean,
whether it's the 49ers, whether it's the Houston Texans, whether it's whomever, that's all it takes. And he did save some wear and tear on his body. And keep in mind, he's also missed an accumulation of a full season in games with injuries and suspensions. So, and lastly, Lev Bell's only like 26, 27 years old. He's not at that 30-year-old or older mark. So he's got some years left in him. I'm just interested to see if anybody will commit multiple years to him, knowing that, one, you can find James Conner out there, and two, his price tags might be more than what they want to pay for that position.
The NFL Network, Steve Weiss joining us here on SB Nation Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at Weiss89 and also see him on NFL Network's The Aftermath every Monday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. Now, something I said on my show earlier this week, and I don't know if you would agree, but other than maybe Cincinnati, when it comes to the final wild card slot there, I feel like we already kind of know our teams in the AFC in terms of who's headed to the postseason. Would you agree with that?
You're really starting to see some things. One, just because the AFC East, it's the Patriots and nobody else. You know, that division is settled. But then there's the AFC South. I mean, I think that's the interesting dynamic here, because you're going to have one and possibly two teams come out of the South, one team come out of the South, because you're going to have one team come out of the West. It's either going to be, two teams come out of the AFC West. Kansas City and the Chargers are coming out of the West. Which one wins the division, we'll see. But you could have a team like the Titans join the Texans in competing for a division title and a wild card. I don't know if Cincinnati's going to make it. I mean, their schedule is no joke from here, and they are not playing great football. So, I still think that you're going to get a wild card coming out of the West and the South to go with the division winners.
And with the Titans, they get two big-time wins over the Cowboys and, of course, the Patriots. Now, Marcus Mariota looks as good as he has in quite some time. He had the issue, maybe still kind of has the issue with the arm there, but have you seen enough, though, when it comes to him to invest long-term if you are Tennessee?
Yep. I mean, what else are you going to do? If you decide, see, this is where Tampa Bay is in an incredible jam right now, because if the Buccaneers let Jameis Winston go, then you're resetting that 3 or 4 year window on another young quarterback. You're going to bring in a bridge quarterback like a Ty Taylor, Tyrod Taylor, and draft another quarterback. I mean, he's done enough in Tennessee with what they've got going as to where I would make that investment in him. Maybe not that top dollar. I mean, Marcus Mariota's agent may say he deserves to get paid as much as Aaron Rodgers, but he might be the only one who thinks they can actually get that done. But it's just an intriguing situation, because you have to look at it this way too. Marcus Mariota is playing very well right now, and let's say they keep the staff together and he does it for another year. What's going to happen to his offensive coordinator? He's going to get a head coaching job. So, that is the interesting dynamic you have to do. But, yeah, I think they need to secure Marcus Mariota, because besides being an improving player with question marks, you don't have to question anything about his leadership or character or the way his teammates feel about him. And that's a huge, huge part of things when you're thinking about making this type of investment.
While we're on the topic of quarterbacks, and you mentioned kind of where the Bucs are and where the Giants maybe will be, and we can go on the Jags as well, teams needing quarterbacks heading into this offseason, and you look at the names that may or may not be available in free agency, and then certainly who's going to actually come out of college and be in this draft class. Just, can you remember a time where maybe this many teams, it seems like, needs quarterbacks, and then you see what we have maybe available out there? It just seems like you're in a tough spot if you need a quarterback right now.
Well, it's always like that. I mean, good quarterbacks don't hit the market. The interesting thing, as I say that, is what are the Raiders going to do with Derek Carr?
Mm-hmm.
They can get out of his deal, and if they dare put him on the market, you better believe the Giants, the Jags, the Buccaneers, somebody's going to take it. The Raiders, to me, can't be that crazy. For all the things they've done, to let a talented player like him go would be absolutely insane. But then again, they're going to have 3 first-round picks next year, and maybe the kid out of Oregon, we don't know if he's coming out, but if he comes out, that might be just what John Gruden wants. Who necessarily knows? But, to me, there doesn't seem to be as many teams as normal with quarterbacks, but the other dynamic to factor into that, look, I was talking to some folks the other day around the league. We could have 8, 9, 10 head coaching changes, and that's including Jason Garrett in Dallas, John Harbaugh in Baltimore, Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. And then you've got, you know, some of these prime organizations that could have openings like Denver, you know, like Baltimore. I mean, so you tie in all of these things with coaching changes and some of the elite clubs, these crystal clubs that could have openings, and then you factor who needs quarterbacks. This offseason is going to be absolutely fantastic in terms of potential player and coach movement and all of those dynamics, what they could mean in the short and long terms.
Just another minute or so with Steve Wyche of the NFL Network. Be sure to give him a follow on Twitter if you don't already, at Wyche89. And, you know, Thursday night football, Packers and Seahawks, sure seems like the loser of this one kind of done in that playoff on in the NFC. What do you make of both these teams right now trying to find a way to sneak into as a wild card, or maybe the Packers still a chance there in the NFC North?
Well, the Packers are in a better situation because that division is all jumbled up, and they're going to get ready to start to play each other and knock each other off. Whereas if Seattle loses, they're done. I mean, the Rams, I think, can clinch the division with a Seattle loss and a Rams win over Kansas City Monday. How about them closing out of the division before the month is even over? So this is huge for Seattle. And Seahawks are playing good football right now. They really are playing. I know they lost a close one to the Rams, but they're playing competitive football right now. But I think they need to win just to see how much they're really going to hold things together. Because if they're out of it at this point, are they going to continue to play at the level they're playing at while they're still competitive? I think so. I think that's the nature of the guys there. But this game is, to me, is incredibly important for the Packers. Because, again, if they lose, you heard me just mention Mike McCarthy and that staff could be in trouble. You're going to hear a lot more conversation about that if they take the L Thursday night. And that's a tough play. They're playing in Seattle, having to travel two time zones. That's going to be a tough victory for them to get.
Last one for you, Steve. I just wanted to kind of gauge where you're at here heading into Week 11 when it comes to the MVP conversation in the NFL. The three names everybody, of course, feels like are in the mix: Todd Gurley, Patrick Mahomes, and Drew Brees. How would you kind of stack them up right now?
Well, it would be hard not to give it to Pat Mahomes, even though I think Drew Brees will get a lot of nostalgic sentiment just because he's never really even been in the conversation as great as he's been, because Aaron Rodgers and some of these other players have been in the mix. You also have to add another name in that mix, and that's Aaron Donald. I mean, he is so completely off the charts. I mean, you know, I know J.J. Watt and some of the things he did. Aaron Donald right now has got 12.5 sacks with 6 games to go as an interior player, and he's a total game wrecker. He's the outside candidate, but right now I think it's Mahomes and Brees, with Brees probably getting the nod because of the lifetime meritorious work he's done.
Steve Wyche, NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Wyche89. Also check him out on The Aftermath every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Really great insight. Thrilled to have you on the show tonight. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
And our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125 and get 125% bonus on your deposit today. Get all the plays in the inside line at BetDSI.com. And that last question I asked him there, Bobby, you know, about the MVP race, I think that's the element that we brought up as well, just wondering how many voters give the edge. If it's close enough between Mahomes and Brees, if it does come down to those two, they look at Brees historically and say, this guy is a Hall of Fame quarterback, he's never won MVP, this other kid over here. And so I think that's going to be the debate and what probably would give Brees the edge. Also, you could argue this Monday night, Chiefs-Rams, if you still think Gurley's in the mix, which he's in the mix, I think he's third, though. Head-to-head, I know there are different positions, but you know, if Mahomes goes off and Gurley doesn't, or vice versa, that'll sway, I think, a lot of people's opinion on the MVP race.
Yeah, and also that get a chance to look at a good game and the competition. Is Patrick Mahomes the real deal? Can he step up to the plate and beat a good team like the LA Rams? So, yeah, it go both ways. I mean, and Ty Gurley is having a LaDainian Tomlinson, or he's trying to have that type of running back career where he put up at least, 28 touchdowns. He broke the record. So,
crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Thanks again to Steve Wyche for joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Jimmy Butler, his debut tonight with the 76ers. How did he do? Let's talk about it next.